Good morning, everyone. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we just thank you so much that we can come together this morning to soak in your word and to just meditate upon the things that you want to speak to us in our lives today. Father, we just thank you for your faithfulness to this SP body over the past 17 years. We just thank you that we can come together and just celebrate this weekend of your goodness and your faithfulness to us. Father, I just lift up the rest of this time to you. I just pray that you'll use me as your empty vessel to just share your word and your heart to my brothers and sisters today. Father, we love you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, everyone. We'll be reading from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4. So this is Nehemiah 4. Now when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged, and he jeered at the Jews. And he said in the presence of his brothers and of the army of Samaria, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish it up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burned ones at that?" Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, "Yes, what they are building, if a fox goes up on it, he will break down the stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn back their taunt and their own heads and give them up to be plundered in the land where they are captives. Do not cover their guilt and let not their sin be blotted out from your sight, for they have provoked you to anger in the presence of the builders." So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdites heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem was going forward and that the breaches were beginning to be closed, they were very angry. And they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. And we prayed to our God and set a guard as a protection against them day and night. In Judah it was said, "The strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. There's too much rubble. By ourselves we will not be able to rebuild the wall." And our enemy said, "They will not know or see till we come along among them and kill them and stop the work." At that time the Jews who lived near them came from all directions and said to us 10 times, "You must return to us." So in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, in open places, I stationed the people by their clans with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, "Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes." When our enemies heard that was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan, we all returned to the wall, each to his work. From that day on, half of my servants worked on construction, and half held the spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail. And the leader stood behind the whole house of Judah, who were building on the wall. Those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand and held the weapon with the other. And each of the builders had his sword strapped at his side while he built. The man who sounded the trumpet was beside me, and I said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, "The work is great and widely spread, and we are separated on the wall, far from one another. In the place where you hear the sound of trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us." So we labored at the work, and half of them held the spears from the break of dawn until the stars came out. I also said to the people at that time, "Let every man and his servant pass the night within Jerusalem, that they may be a guard for us by night and may labor by day." So neither I nor my brothers nor my servants nor the men of the guard who followed me, none of us took off our clothes. Each kept his weapon at his right hand. Amen. So since actually the end of the fast, I've been led to the book of Nehemiah. And it's not a book I usually get led to, so I was very puzzled why I'm even looking at this book at this time. And the funny thing is, the last few weeks while I'm serving at SP Kids with my Spark class, we've also been going through the book of Nehemiah because it just so happens to be part of the syllabus. And usually when different things coincide, at least in my own experience, is that God is trying to say something through this particular book or this passage. But the question still remains is, why the book of Nehemiah? Is God telling me that we should go build a physical wall somewhere? Or maybe it's a spiritual wall? Or is it completely something else? And, as all of us know, is that over the past few months, our city has really been battered. It's the protests last year, and now it's the coronavirus. Last week at CMP, Max was sharing that he's been here for 13, 14 years, and he could never have imagined that there could be so much unrest and so much disturbance in the city. I've been here pretty much all my life, and I could have never imagined that our city could be like this right now. And I felt God was leading us to this passage in Nehemiah to really give us, to be a guide, to show us how we should be approaching these times. And just a quick recap on how we get to Nehemiah 4 is that the first part of Nehemiah is primarily dealing with God using Nehemiah to return to Jerusalem to lead the people to rebuild the walls of the city. At that time, a city, it's unlike now. A city at that time without walls is open to attack. It's open to invasion. People can come and just steal things from the city. It's not a highly regarded, it's not even really considered a city if it doesn't have its walls. Its walls are fundamental to the identity of the city and for its protection. And we know for a fact that at this point in time, Jerusalem, its walls are broken down. It's battered. It's not really there. And Nehemiah at this time, he's the cupbearer for the king Artaxerxes over in Babylon. And he is basically led to come back to Jerusalem to help with the rebuilding efforts. And so through the first three chapters, we basically see this journey where Nehemiah is brought back to Jerusalem to survey what's going on and then to start rebuilding the wall. And which leads us to where we are now in chapter 4, which is where they're starting to be met with opposition. The opposition in this chapter really comes in three main forms. The first form is discouragement. They are mocked and ridiculed at the very first passage of chapter 4. In verse 3, it says, "Yes, what are they building? If a fox goes up on it, he will break down the stone wall." They're getting discouraged. They're getting mocked. They're getting ridiculed, saying, "Why are you bothering with this wall? You guys are feeble Jews. You're not going to be able to rebuild this wall properly. Why are you doing it?" Second form of opposition is through disunity. In verse 10, after they've built half the wall, fatigue starts setting in, and they start grumbling, complaining. These are the builders themselves. They start complaining and say, "I don't know if we can do this. I don't know if we're going to be able to get through this and rebuild this wall. Maybe, are you sure this is the right way, right thing to do?" And then on top of that, now that their fatigue is setting in, they're starting to lose sight of the greater goal. Fear, the third element, the third type of opposition that they face is fear. Because now, after this is happening, the opposition is saying, "We're going to attack you. You don't know when we're going to attack you, but we are going to attack you, and you're going to be met with violence." My friends, these are all elements that we, could face in our daily lives. But I think right now it's especially heightened because of what's going on with the protests last year until now and the coronavirus. Think about it. Discouragement, disunity, fear. And all these elements are really leading us to sort of bring out probably some of the worst instincts, the worst human instincts in us, to bring out selfishness in us. But the purpose of today's message is not to paint a picture of negativity, but really it's to highlight the strategy that God has given us in Nehemiah so that we can stand firm against this opposition, against these elements. Which leads me to my 3 points today. My first point is, in order to stand up against this opposition, against these elements, the first thing you need to do is set your sights on something greater. Throughout chapter 4, Nehemiah and the builders of the wall are constantly met with opposition. We see that. They are mocked. They build half the wall and they get tired and they start complaining. And then on top of all that, there's a real threat that they could be attacked. They could be met with violence. And they don't know where this, when they'll get attacked. There's really fear that's gripping them. And at each point, Nehemiah and the builders could have just stopped building it. You know, the wall hasn't been built in long hundreds of years. So if we stop now, no one's the wiser. Nothing's changed. We could just stop, right? Now, you know, our families might be under threat. Maybe we should just stop. And you can also tell that in verse 10, the builders were really starting But what does Nehemiah do to get the builders to continue? Verse 4, it says, "Then I prayed, 'Hear us, O God, our God.'" Verse 9, "And we prayed to our God and set a guard as a protection against them day and night." Verse 14, "Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord God who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your homes." Verse 20, "In the place where you hear the sound of the trumpet rally to us there, our God will fight for us." Nehemiah's instructions, his strategy, is to pray and to keep the builder's eyes focused on God. My friends, when we are met with opposition, when we encounter these elements, discouragement, disunity, fear, what are we going to do? Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." We need to live for a higher purpose. We need to set our sights higher. We need to set our sights on something greater than us. Without purpose, when we're met with any obstacle, with any opposition, it's easy to get bogged down. It's easy to just can't get your head out of it. But you need to take a step back and just look at, stop looking at what is in front of you and set your sights on what God wants. The question is posed in the Westminster Shorter Catechism. What is the chief end of man? The answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. As Christians, as followers of Christ, that is the purpose that God has instilled in each and every one of us. Let us pray and refocus in our eyes and heart on God so that we can work according to his purposes in our lives. My second point is that we need to experience living in community. When the builders are threatened with violence, they actually don't know when and where it will come from. The builders are spread thin along the wall, so they aren't concentrated. They can't defend themselves that well. But Nehemiah, you know, had a plan from God and arranged them properly, right? Some were set to guard. Some were set to build. There was a trumpeter ready to sound the alarm when necessary. And always people were on guard day and night. Everyone had a role in order to accomplish the mission. In our own walks, we also need to surround ourselves all the time with brothers and sisters. Each of us has a role to play. We all have God-given gifts, and we need to exercise these gifts so that in order to build the body and encourage one another. None of us can do everything alone. None of us have all the spiritual gifts. And each of our gifts are needed in order to encourage the body, whether it's through words of prophecy, whether it's through the gift of helps, gift of healing, gift of generosity, and so on. All are needed in order to stand firm against the challenges that we face today. And the final point is preparation and vigilance. Verse 17 and 18, it says, "Those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand and held his weapon with the other, and each of the builders had his sword strapped at his side while he built." This is actually one of my, I guess, favorite images in this particular passage. It's such a, you know, you can imagine, you know, people that as they are working, one hand they have to hold the weapon, getting ready, just in case the enemy comes. But the other, with the other hand, they continue with the work. Actually, last week with SP Kids in my class, we actually did games where they actually had to put one hand behind their back and, you know, do relay races with the other hand. But anyway, that's a side note altogether. But I think this is a fantastic image of continuing to do what you need to do, but at the same time being prepared. In verse 9, it also says that Nehemiah prayed and prepared like people to stand guard. So it's about preparation. It's about being vigilant. And I submit to you, my brothers and sisters here at SP, is that if you've been part of this body for some time, God has been preparing you this whole time to be men of Issachar, to be men who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. I don't think it's a mistake that in the past year, PSAM was downloaded the sermon series to go through the spiritual gifts, to go through the things of the spiritual, to let us know and to also let us have that opportunity to grow in our spiritual gifts so that we can be equipped to build our body at this time. I also don't think it's a matter of mistake or a coincidence that a few seasons ago, Philippians 2 was our main theme verse. In Philippians 2, it says, "So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." At SP, we always talk about walking in the opposite spirit. But how do we do this? And can we do this? And I submit to you is that God has been equipping us this whole time so that we can walk in the opposite spirit, to not give in to the discouragement, this disunity, and the fear, and to resort to selfishness. This message is not a message about, you know, not taking precautions, not being vigilant during, you know, the coronavirus. But when the majority of our city is resorting to selfishness, it's thinking about only themselves, hoarding all the materials that they can get. And, you know, I hear stories about helpers who are asked to work all day, 24/7, no protection, no support, just so that they can keep on cleaning the house. We have been prepared, and we can and we must walk in the opposite spirit. We have to do what it says in Philippians 2, verses 4 and 5. "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you not only to his own spirit, look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." My brothers and sisters, I think this is the key. This is the way to walk in the opposite spirit during this time. And it's something that, you know, if you had no takeaway from my message today, that is what I would want to leave with you. So if I'd like to invite Ernie up for worship. The last few weeks I've been speaking to my wife, and I was just thinking, because I've been a Christian for coming up to eight years now, ever since I joined SP. And I was speaking to my wife, and I was wondering, I was like, hey, you know, how would I be reacting to the protest situation in the past year? How would I be reacting to the coronavirus if I was not a Christian? If, you know, God never came into my life? And I can see myself, you know, realistically, giving in to the discouragement, giving in to the fear, and reverting to my most base human instincts. But as we are followers of Christ, we are born again and are equipped to walk in the opposite spirit. Our only fear should be the fear of God. Our God put his Son on the cross for our sins. He left us with the Holy Spirit to guide us and to equip us with spiritual gifts to build the body. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, 6, it says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." We know that the Holy Spirit is with us this whole time, and that we can walk in the whole opposite spirit. And just going back to the original question, did God lead us to the passage in Nehemiah so that it's telling us to build a wall? Not necessarily. But I do believe that it is so that we can build our faith during this time and to trust that he is preparing us for a time such as this. I'm Let's turn to our community prayer. Let's lift up our brothers and sisters, family members and friends who are battling through cancer and chemo and radiation therapy and surgery. Let's just lift them up this morning. Lift up friends and family who are battling through illness but also need the word of salvation in their lives. As we, you know, went through the book of Nehemiah, you can tell that it's not enough to just go through our daily lives. We also need to set our sights on something greater. And let's just lift our friends and family who just need a touch of God in their lives. Pray for friends and families who are battling through different types of illnesses. Let's pray for the Lord to just release His healing upon them. Let's pray for our brothers who are looking for work. Let's pray for open doors, for the right doors to be opened in their lives. And also just pray against any spirit of discouragement in their lives, especially for those who may be seeking for a job for a long time. We just pray that they'll be encouraged that, you know, the Lord is with them. Turn to our mission focus. Pray for the North Korea. Pray for just continue open doors for ministry. Pray for more mission opportunities and partnerships throughout Asia. And let's also lift up the persecuted churches throughout the world, and especially in the Middle East this morning. Pray for all the events that is happening at SP this weekend. Pray for the anniversary conference, for migrant workers outreach, for Sunday services, SP Kids, worship, hospitality, SP Youth, spin and spill services and activities, the Word Bible study class, all meetings, and helping with hurting class on Mondays. Let's also pray for Alpha. The season has been ongoing for the last few weeks. Just pray for guests to continue coming and to feel safe in the knowledge that they are seeking after the Lord. Just pray for also the logistics and just protection over all the volunteers and all for all the people who are all the guests that are visiting Alpha. Lift up our house churches that are meeting today, King's Court, Mawan, Southside, and Westside. Just pray that they can really just to have a great time of fellowship and really be challenged through the message that P. Kenny shared last week, that they can really challenge each other to continue growing. Finally, let's just lift up our city. Just pray against the spirit of discouragement, against the spirit of disunity, against the spirit of fear. And just pray that, you know, we, as followers of Christ, brothers and sisters at SP, that we are able to walk in the opposite spirit, and that we can be a light to those who need it, for those who are around us, and just set a different example, set a different way of how things can be done. So let's lift up our city.
So Father God, we just again thank you for this morning. Just thank you that you've brought us here together and to just share in your word. Father, we just continue to stand firm against opposition. We continue to stand up and lift up our city and encourage our city during this time, Lord God. Father, we also just lift up the rest of this anniversary weekend to you. We again just thank you for your faithfulness in our lives and to this body. I just pray that everything that we do today, tomorrow, and forever, we'll be able to glorify you. So we thank you. We love you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.